Hey guys, I'm here talking about Gears of War 5. Wow. You know, I was blown away, honestly, when Gears of War 4 was not a complete, you know, trash fire. I know some people aren't blown away by that, but I just had no good expectations going into it because it's a completely different studio. But they did a decent job and kept it alive. Nothing really big happened. But it's a good starting point for the next, you know, era in this game or in the series. And Gears 5 delivers us a proper sequel where they add a bunch of stuff without diluting the overall experience. It's really, really great. And I love seeing that kind of, dedication and wise decision making, I would say. So what is new in Gears 5? Well, first of all, now there are little open world parts. So, for example, you'll have sections of the game which are straightforward missions. You know, you blast your way through, easy peasy. But then there are other sections of the game where it gets essentially very interesting, where you'll have an open little world, and it'll be decently sized, and you basically ride around on this skiff, and you also basically put your weapons on the skiff and, you know, basically stock them there. And you basically take them and, you know, go around the environment and, you know, follow the main quest marker. There are also side quests to do in here. And again, it's not so large you get lost, but it's big enough that it feels like you're in like a large, cool area, and it does feel like an open world. It's really, really, really cool. And you and a buddy, of course, can team up. And I think this is the one game that's three-player co-op. I think the third player actually in this one plays as Jack, the robot who does all the hacking and stuff, which is pretty cool. In this game, some of the new weapons you get are the alternative Lancer weapons. So one thing that's different now is instead of pressing, they changed the control scheme. It was, but basically now, in order to chainsaw, you hold down RB, which is interesting. So B is now used for other things. And so basically, that's because aside from the normal Lancer, there's now a Lancer which has a grenade launcher on it and other things too. So it's really cool to see that they're really experimenting with the normal formula and they're doing things that really feel good. So what about the story? So the story is good. I would say this opening intro is really, it feels really good, actually. You're just thrown into the midst of, you know, going into this derelict, abandoned factory looking for an additional Hammer of Dawn item. And satellite, rather. And so, basically, it implies that, you know, ever since the end of Gears of War 3, the EMP that was blasted knocked out all the satellites out of the sky, therefore putting the Hammer of Dawn offline indefinitely. And so part of this one is that, you know, you see the rebuilding human society. You see that they all live in one major city now, run by a chairwoman who, again, I thought, you know, that would be, you know, in this day and age, it'd be some kind of, contrived, progressive kind of speech. But she's like a believable character and not aggravating at all. It was really a pleasant surprise to see that this character was here not because they were being forced, but because they actually fit the role that was given to them. And so basically, you start off as James, and he's gone through a little bit of a makeup change here where he shaved his head and he has a scar across his face. So he's a little bit battle-hardened now. And they go searching for this extra Hammer of Dawn satellite and trying to launch it. For the reason that, you know, they need an extra edge against the locusts, and, you know, the chairwoman is like, oh, it's too dangerous, we can't risk it, we need to do something else. And so, of course, James or JD is like, oh, that's not good enough, we need to find a way to get a strategic edge against our enemy, even if it means, you know, creating something that could possibly go wrong. Because the idea that what could go wrong is that without a targeting system, the Hammers of Dawn satellites would just indiscriminately destroy a bunch of cities, which apparently did happen sometime in the past. So you have this little research thing they go on. They find the satellite, they put it up in the sky, and basically it's not enough. They need another satellite in order to get it fully online. However, in doing this, it turns out that they were not sanctioned to go do this mission, and then begin the little politics and characterization of this game and the characters in it. Also, Barrett is back in this one, and he is super, super funny. He has this whole scene where he's talking about how Jack got beaten up, and now they have Jack version 2, essentially to do more things. And so Jack even actually is a playstyle in Horde mode now, which is really cool. So it's gotten pretty advanced. But what's also new in this game, speaking of new enemies, is there are new robots. They're now flying robots with the giant shields that you have to take out, which are really cool. Different enemies like that. But yeah, so the main story is, they need another satellite, even though they went against orders. They're like, oh, well, you damn crazy cop, there's nothing you won't do. And so basically now they have to find another satellite, and they get a lead basically down the time of the story to basically that it is in a facility that was run by I forget their name, but they were like the anti-cog. They were they had a civil war with the cog, and they were essentially the version of the Soviets and communist Russia of this universe. And so there's a couple open world sections, and it's very obvious when they happen. You're going to get a glider or a skiff, and from this you're going to basically ride around and do different things. In fact, the first place you go to is this ice area where you're looking for, initially you go to see Kate's people and find out more about her past and figure out why does she have a locust thing when she was, found as a baby. And so you go to this ice area and basically find out Kate's past and exactly what her deal is. I remember seeing the promos for this game, and Kate would have this thing where she would like scream at like and make stupid, just dumb faces as if she's like, oh, my pain is so serious, you can't understand it. I thought this is gonna be awful, this is gonna be terrible, but no, Kate is actually like a really good character because she is conflicted that she has this power and she has this past and she doesn't know how to feel about it and how to use it, and she doesn't want to be. She wants to understand herself, but she's also afraid of understanding herself. Even though it can help them, it might mean that she has some past that means she can never be accepted by her friends ever again. And a lot of this game is bonding with her friends and her relationships over the course of these open world segments where you have dialogue and banter and all that good stuff. And it's finding out essentially what is it that makes her human, and if she even is human, she's not even sure. And they kind of lay out, they've been teasing it all this time for different reasons and eras, where did the locusts come from? And in this game they give a full-blown explanation, which I frankly hate. I think my idea was better of Queen Mira being Marcus's ex-wife or something, and an experiment gone horribly wrong. And it's kind of similar to that reason, but it's not quite the same. And it's something just more, honestly, kind of boring, and it's whatever. And then you finally, meet Niles again, which is how you, find out about all this stuff. And you're like, okay, all right. So there's that. And so they kind of made an whatever explanation. But despite all of that, the game and overall story is still good for its pacing and whatnot. And then Niles basically says, okay, I'm going to self-destruct. And then you have to fight your first boss, which is a version of the Berserker, basically. And then the next part, you go to this desert area where, again, you need to get the Soviet version of their Hammer of Dawn online so it can communicate with your other Hammer of Dawn. And then once that happens, the final chapter appears, and you go back to the city, and the locusts have initiated a full-on attack. But now you have the Hammer of Dawn, and you use it, and of course, what happens, happens, and you have the final chapter of the game. So it's honestly, it's fun. The pacing is good. The pacing feels good. The plot feels good, rather. And just overall, it's a fun, good story that wraps up a lot of loose ends and also introduces some new mechanics without being onerous about it, I suppose. Also, the gameplay is pretty good. It's a lot more fluid now in the sense that, I don't know, I find that I end up shooting enemies and they don't exactly slow down. But, you know, they'll kind of stumble a little bit, so there's a lot more animation there, I guess you could say. Something that was in Gears 4 that I forgot to mention was a really cool new weapon they added was a pickup holding weapon, which was basically a buzzsaw launcher, which was just kind of crazy and cool. I'm not sure how I feel about the Horde mode in this game, simply because, again, it is kind of heavily monetized, and it's designed to only be 12 waves instead of the impossible 50, where once you get to wave 50, you win. But it's designed to be much shorter, I think, simply because, I mean, it makes sense that people don't have the time to commit to all 50 waves of Horde. In fact, usually after 10 or 20 waves, you know, the enemies are pretty easy, and then they get a huge boost in Gears 3. So I can see that, you know, a lot of people tended to just leave the match after wave 10 or at least by wave 20, and it's only the real real gamers who stayed behind all the way to wave 50 for the full kind of experience, unless they were, because you know they might have just been doing it for the sake of the point systems and upgrading their stuff. Speaking of that, there are now like classes specifically for Horde, so you have wild crazy things now, like you'll get a special power which will let you run in like as a ball of flame. Another thing where it lets you have x-ray vision and see through walls and shoot enemies. There's another one where it turns your melee into some crazy attack. There's one you can play as Jack and play as a super cool support role and even shock enemies. And also now there's 5 players in Horde, which is new. So, and of course Horde is scaled to be harder because of that. It's not bad. I mean, I can play a couple rounds of it, but it's nowhere near the fun and the challenge that was Gears 2 and 3, especially 3. 3 has the best Horde mode ever. It's just amazingly good. Again, there are a couple new, enemy types, a couple new weapons, nothing super different, a couple variations of the Lancer, but the story's really good, and, you know, it's all kosher. I guess you could say it's all above board, and they experiment enough without breaking the formula, which is all we can ask for, unlike what 343 did with Halo. One thing I do have to say though that I found very kind of silly is that the way Gears 4 ended was with, you know, them destroying this huge nest and blowing it up and realizing it's not over, there's still more out there, and Kate holding her emblem saying, "I don't know who I am, there's more of a mystery to me." And this game ends exactly the same way, despite everything that happened. So that's kind of like a bit of a frustrating thing. It's like nothing really changed or changes depending on, you know, like from game to game. It's like they introduced some new things and a bit more story. But in terms of like developing Kate closer, I mean, she is closer to the truth, but her character hasn't really developed that much, unfortunately. I think it'd be interesting in Gears 6, which hasn't come out yet, if she'll have a more, like some kind of savior complex, like she gets all psycho control freak. But I actually like her as a character. She is not overbearing. She's not like, oh, everyone around me is pathetic and I'm the only one that can do anything. It's like, no, she is literally like struggling with herself. She's not this super arrogant person, and she's very humble, and I love that about her. She's a good character. JD's a little bit odd in this game because after the events that makes him kind of battle hardened, he's just kind of an asshole and very kind of standoffish, and you understand why, but you just wish he would get better. And the problem is you don't see him for the rest of the game. He's just not there. And the other thing is that at the end of the game, I'm pretty sure everyone knows, but basically, I don't know how they'll do this, but essentially one of the main characters dies, and it's a player decision that you have to choose between two main characters of which one dies. And it's kind of an interesting, I guess, you know, drama marketing thing, I guess. But then how are you going to write the next game? And the answer is, well, you either kill both of them in, like, the next game so that they're both dead off-screen, Or you do it such that, I don't know, you give the characters the same lines of dialogue, or you write completely two different stories. But regardless, what's going to happen is that either way, of the two characters, neither of them can hold an important part in Gears 6 story, because one of them is dead, and that, you know, has to come into, you know, they're not going to spend game companies do not spend time making multiple branching stories. If Mass Effect couldn't do it, this is not going to do it. Something else I should also mention is that now when you reload, you also like supercharged different attacks. Some enemies now have giant health bars if they're mini bosses. There's this one guy who has these two maces, which is super intimidating, and he runs around doing mainly melee attacks, and he's pretty cool. Also, I forgot, this game is called Gears 5, not Gears of War 5, but Gears 5. So they're trying to be more, I don't know, they're trying to do something there. And it's really funny to me, also, the presentation of this game, especially in the intro. It feels like, I'll just say it, it feels like a Netflix show. The fact when they're showing the intro, it shows like all these blood cells and the credits of the people who worked on, you know, the game. And it shows, you know, the blood cells becoming, you know, these crystals, which is one of the gimmicks of the game, that now, you know, they're evolving essentially and developing this natural bio armor. And, you know, just the cinematography, the font, the spacing of everything, I expected at the end of it to say, you know, The Crown or something, or like a Netflix original series. Unfortunately, it does not have the writing of a Netflix original series, but just the aesthetic intro. Another thing now, there is a rapid fire rocket launcher you can pick up from one of the mechs, which is kind of cool. I don't know, I really like this game. It is a fun game, it's really good. I'm a bit peeved about the lore thing. I mean, I can just make up my own lore, because again, this is an epic, this is the Coalition, it's totally different. But yeah, I like where the series is going, and I kind of hate, again, that it kind of also went nowhere, but it's not dropping the ball. It's not going downward, and it's not making itself completely useless. It's still going in an okay direction. And that's honestly all I can ask for. That it's doing something better. It's not super amazing better, but it is better. And that's all I can really ask for. So, but yeah, this is really unique. It's a three-player co-op campaign. I would definitely recommend it. I mean, well, kind of. I mean, you know, I got frustrated when I told my brother to go find, you know, the output socket, and usually the AI can find it in a second. It was taking him forever to find it, and to the point where I was just on my phone just waiting. But yeah, no, it's a really fun game. The mechanics are great. Everything about it is super fun. The story is pretty decent. You know, it's Gears of War. It's not a terrible game, and it's good. Yeah, I don't know. It's good. That's all I can say. So, yeah. Okay. See you guys later. Bye.